CliffCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's. What do you have for us, Justice? Have you taken it all in? Were you watching? Were you watching the drama unfold?
I've been taking it all in. I think you know, we sit and analyze politics, and we say what's going on here, and we take a view that this might happen, that might happen. This is where it is. This is what it looks like. But I think this morning, for a long time, we've kind of been analyzing, but we haven't been going to the nub of the truth. What has happened over the past 6, 7, 8 hours is clearly that the Gupta faction of the ANC, and by saying the Gupta faction, I'm putting it clearly, is the Jacob Zuma faction that is controlled largely by the Gupta family, has won this round, has hit a major blow, and is saying, you know what, we want Treasury, and we've got it. There are two important matters that are before the court. On Tuesday, we saw Pravin Gordhan and Tobisi Jonas go to the Pretoria High Court, where the application by the finance minister is being heard, and that the Guptas wanted to stop in its tracks. Well, they've got rid of the finance minister and his deputy. Today, we will hear whether the sale of Habib Bank by associates of the Guptas will go through or not, and what the court has to say. That's a four-year process normally. And the Guptas, or rather this associate of theirs, Salim Essa, wanted to happen in just 7 months. What is going on here?
Justice.
And so I think Malusi Gigaba has been deployed to finance, to feather, if you will, that agenda. That's the first thing.
Is there an ANC outside of this anymore? I mean, we've all sat here hoping that the real ANC, the honorable ANC, the old ANC would stand up and fight this, that there were people who weren't captured, that this party isn't one-dimensional and it isn't able to be pushed around like a chess piece on a board by President Zuma and the Guptas. It turns out that the answer may be more unwelcome than we hoped.
I think that we've been analyzing, and I blame myself as well. I've been analyzing our politics with my emotions instead of with my head. And I think virtually all of us have been doing the same thing, that, oh, you know, the good ANC, the Kathrada ANC will step up and do the right thing. That ANC is dead. What's his name? Gwede Mantashe, the ANC Secretary General, went on an old technology radio station yesterday and said that he said we were called. Usually we have a debate. He said, in this case, we were told that I've heard you and said this, but it's happening. I'm replacing Pravin Gordhan and Tobisi Jonas. Don't worry about all the other cabinet members, and we can talk about them later. They don't matter. It's about the Treasury. Gwede Mantashe says, we were told. There was no debate. We were told. And then listen to what he said next. He said, we must give them a chance to see how they perform. Well, we know how they will perform. They're taking their instructions straight from Saxon World. So this is clearly what has happened here. The idea, and your question is crucial, Gareth. Your question is absolutely the question. The key is whether the ANC is capable of standing up to a president who has gone rogue. Jacob Zuma is running his own ANC, not an ANC that he listens to, that speaks to him. He has now gone off and is doing his own thing. And I don't think this morning the ANC is capable of standing up to him. And therefore, what you have is what one of those ministers told me early this morning at 1 a.m. is a total takeover by the Zuma faction, and that means the Gupta faction of the ANC. Look at the list of people who are there. They are essentially three kinds of people. People who can protect Jacob Zuma, like Mamoloko Kubayi, who said once that the president is living in poverty in Uganda. Then there are the people who will take over Treasury. And then there are the bits and bobs floating about. But essentially, to your question, the ANC that can stand up is not there. So hoping that there will be a fight back of some sort, I'm now convinced that there will be maybe a bit of something from the Communist Party, but the ANC will have to show me that it is really capable of a turnaround here, and I haven't seen it yet.
Now, you mentioned the Communist Party. They held a press conference yesterday where they explained how unhappy they were about what was being planned. But essentially, a lot of SACP members have been elevated to cabinet. And there are some people in cabinet I would like your opinion on. You say they don't matter, and you're quite right. But, you know, you've got to ask some questions about a few of these deployments.
Oh, yes. Well, the SACP is going to hold a Politburo meeting, a Central Committee meeting this today. And that meeting will basically determine how they react. What Jacob Zuma has done is say, Tulas Ngesi, you stood up a few weeks ago and said Jacob Zuma needs to go. If there's a cabinet reshuffle, we will stand down and so forth and so forth. He throws him a bone. He's thrown quite a few of those SACP guys a bone. Will the SACP be able to see through this ruse? Remember, Jacob Zuma, if you look at the list of ANC leaders and ANC alliance partners who are criticizing Jacob Zuma today, who are they and what have they done? All of them have been next to Jacob Zuma, saying we are prepared to kill for him in the case of Zwelinzi Mavhavhi and Julius Malema. All of them were responsible for him coming through. He gave them all a bone. When he had used them, he threw them out. Will the SACP realize that right now it is a fresh pack, new condom, and it's about to be used and it will be discarded? That is what Jacob Zuma's stratagem is when he gives these Communist Party leaders those positions in his cabinet. The key question for them is, will they be fooled? Can they be fooled? If they realize and have studied Jacob Zuma over the past 10 years, it is that everyone who stands by him at times like these will be used and discarded, every single one.
You know, Justice, I'm curious. You mentioned Julius, you mentioned Zwelinzi Mavhavhi, and the president does. He uses people and then he discards them. And surely there must be those, even in the cabinet now, even those who've been elevated to positions that they couldn't have hoped for in their wildest dreams, like Faith Mutambi, who's been moved to an even more important portfolio, some would argue. Even those people must see that this is the history, that this man will do to you what he did to Julius, what he did to Vavi, what he's done to former SACP leaders, what very nearly happened to poor old Blade Zimande, who somehow he got a stay of execution, it seems.
He got a stay of execution because Jacob Zuma knows that at the moment, the revolt can only come from the SACP. So he's keeping him there. Let me tell you a little story. I once worked for a man who, whenever there was trouble, he would pay me and not pay the rest of the staff. And then he'd say, Justice, what are you complaining about? You've been paid. Go out and tell the workers that, you know, it's all okay. They will get paid too because you got paid. This is the strategy that is used by people who are trying to make you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. So what is happening to Blade Nzimande? He has been thrown a bone so that he can go out and say, well, let's wait and see. If we wait and see, we know exactly what will happen. It's what has been happening in the past 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the Zuma administration. So Blade Nzimande is one of those who's been thrown a bone. The SACP in its entirety has been thrown a bone. And it will be interesting to hear what it says now. People like Rob Davies, people like Blade himself, Tulas Ngesi has been given a new job as a sports minister. That's an interesting one that Ben, I'm sure, will analyze over the next few days what Tulas Ngesi's abilities in sport are also well questionable, but you can see what's going on here.
But there is concern. Let's be serious about one or two of these positions, because I am concerned that someone who's basically got the mentality of a child, Fikile Mbalula, is now in charge of police, a portfolio which is in big trouble. We've had issues like Marikana. We've had some serious stuff going on in police. And that is a ministry which finds itself pulled into court often. What does this mean for the police force? Surely good, self-respecting police officers in South Africa, the ones who are trying to do good, not the ones who are mired in corruption, will look to this man and think, I surely can't take instruction from this guy.
Remember that Fikile Mbalula used to be the deputy police minister. In the first iteration of the Zuma administration in 2009. He is the man who came up with a concept of, he didn't come up with it, but he ran with it, that, you know, shoot the bastards. I think there was a particular line that he used.
I think it was the then commissioner who said, shoot to kill, remember?
Becky Kale also came up, yes. So there was a move towards the militarization of the police. This minister is not the right guy to take the police from the Marikana stance towards a more, how shall I say, a more civilian approach to what you guys were talking about, the forensics and so forth. These guys, Mbalula, is clearly a believer that, no, you solve the crime by shooting the people and so forth and so forth. And so you have to draw a line between what he used to say, what Becky Kale used to say, and what happened in Marikana in 2012, because that line, that response at that time was sparked by these kinds of militaristic responses to police. But the main issue with the police is that, look at exactly what you said, look at what's happening. Khomotso Phahlane, the acting commissioner, we don't have a commissioner, acting commissioner, is under investigation for all kinds of things, and his big cars and paying off his houses. The Hawks is Benning and Tlemeza. Benning and Tlemeza has been found not by one court, by two courts of law, to be a liar, to be a man who lied under oath, and he's still in his position. You look at IPID and its battles with the former minister, Nathi Nhleko, and its continued battles with the acting police commissioner. And you have to say, whoa, do we have a police service that works, and is this the man to solve it? I'm not convinced that Mbalula has the range to grasp with these issues and to resolve them. Over and above that, he's got the spokesperson who knows nothing except to talk about racism and race and call people names and so forth and so forth. So, you know, we are entering a whole new territory for our police services. I'm not sure. Nathi Nhleko was a terrible police minister. The police services has fallen into disarray in his under his watch. But the one thing I knew about him, with all his defense of Zuma and Nkandla and so forth, was that he actually believed at the kernel of his being that the police services need to be more responsive to citizenry, more and less militaristic. At least that is something that he believed in. He didn't do much to entrench it, but we knew where he stood on that one. On the issue of Fikile Mbalula, we know exactly where he stands, and it's shoot them to kill. And I don't know if I'm a guy walking down the street, whether that gives police the essentially gives them something in their hands to so go after me for.
Essentially what the president is doing here is he's pretty much saying to the people of this country, look, either you're with me or you're against me. And with me means that you are going to let me get my hands into all the tills and to open it up to the Guptas, and you must just sit down and behave yourselves. Because I'm going to increasingly militarize the state if you don't. On the other hand, what we've got is we've got a couple of placements in cabinet that I think will be useful to the Guptas. First of all, Malusi Gigaba, who will make it possible for them to get their own bank. Second of all, this Mrs. Kubai, who's going to be our new Minister of Energy. We know that the end game is a massive $1 trillion nuclear deal with Russia, and energy is obviously the department that will be involved in that. So that must be an important strategic placement. And then in transport, they need the transport ministry because they need to protect the looters at Prasa, and they need to have an airport so they can ferry out their money, right?
I think those are key, and all those speak to the stratagem that is clearly unfolding, and that is to make sure that the Guptas have influence in these key ministries. Energy will be very, very interesting. Mamoloko Kubai is someone who you will remember who defended President Zuma essentially to the very end on the Nkandla matter. When an ad hoc committee was formed and it did a whitewash, essentially if you go to the Constitutional Court and say, what did you mean when you said the president and parliament failed to uphold their oath of office and act on the public protector's recommendations? It was because of people like Mamoloko Kubai who went to Nkandla, came back and said, that place is so uncomfortable, the president should be in fact given more money to spend on his home. So these are people who are pliable. These are people who will do whatever is needed to get certain things through. So you've got Malusi Gigaba and Sifiso Buthelezi in Treasury, and then you've got Mamoloko Kubai in the position of energy, and therefore a nuclear build in South Africa, in my view, has just gone a step closer. The name you haven't mentioned in terms of these names is Brian Molefe.
Yeah.
And I think in this reshuffle this morning, last night, President Zuma has given us exactly the same thing as he would have given us with a Brian Molefe finance ministry, only he just sugarcoated it a bit. I don't see Malusi Gigaba being any different to Brian Molefe in the way he's going to behave at Treasury. I think that everything that was going to be achieved that way will be achieved with Malusi Gigaba and Sifiso Buthelezi at National Treasury. So today, big changes happening at National Treasury. It's this Friday. It will be almost exactly like that Friday in December 2015, when Des van Rooyen, also a deployee of the Guptas, walked into Treasury and asked for the file on SAA.
I need to know from you what you think of Edward Zuma coming out in response to Ghanema Motlanthe's comments at the Ahmed Kathrada funeral the other day, saying that this is he's a parasite, and this is what happens when people who have a political agenda speak at a stalwart's funeral.
The lovely thing about ANC politics these days is that whenever people speak, you can see clearly where they are coming from. Edward Zuma is unelected. He believes that he has the right to comment on our politics simply by the fact that he is the president's son. So his idea of politics is very traditional. It's very much the president is the king. He thinks Zuma is the king. He doesn't think his father is the president elected and accountable. So what you have here is
I'm thinking he might have a point, Justice.
He may have a point indeed, given the events of the past 24 hours, given the fact that the president does behave pretty much like a king or a chief rather than an elected president with a party behind him as he defies it again and again. What do you think of Edward Zuma? I think he will continue to see he will continue to spew the kind of bile that he has spewed consistently over the past 5 years in defense of his father. I don't think it's got anything to do with what the ANC stands for or what party leader stand for. He's a rogue and he does it for his family. And I think over the next few days, in fact, perhaps today, he will issue another one of his occasional letters. And he'll say, wow, what a great president we have. He's not just singing for his supper, he's singing for his dad. And You know, it's just part of the fascinating landscape that we have in our politics.
A lot of people wouldn't let me go unless I asked you what you think can be done. I mean, is there anything that ordinary South Africans can do? It's a tough question. It's not your responsibility. I mean, except for us to sit here and moan about it, what are we going to do?
Well, you know, some people are doing something about it. At 10 o'clock today, Zwelinzi Mavavi, Save SA, other civil society formations are marching in Pretoria. I don't know how much traction they will have there. Business leaders in December 2015 pressured President Zuma to change his mind on Bes van Rooyen. And that's where you see the power of ordinary people to change things. The Fees Must Fall movement was an interesting thing for me. No one thought that President Zuma would cave in on the issue of extra fees for students, and they marched on the union buildings and got him to change his mind on that. So people have the ability to do things, but people have to organize. People have to organize. People have to be prepared to get up in the morning and be part of that. The biggest problem in South Africa is that we all think someone else will do it. Well, no one else is going to do it. If you keep on saying, you know, when you started, you talked about the idea of the ANC, and we talked about, how our emotions and how we analyze things. At the end of the day, Cyril Ramaphosa, Gwede Mantashe, all these other ANC leaders, people keep on saying, but, you know, Cyril will fight back, and so will fight back. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So ordinary South Africans, if they want to oppose this, they have to do it themselves. But they mustn't wait for the word up high, Cyril will lead us. Cyril is not going to lead you. Any of these ANC leaders are going to go off and they'll say, let's give them a chance, let's wait and see. And we know how the story will unfold. So people need to get off their bums and start saying, you know what, I will be there at 10 o'clock, or I will do this, and so forth and so forth. It is ordinary South Africans who are going to take a beating from what Jacob Zuma has done overnight. The rand is plummeting. It means in Umbumbulu, where they have to buy food that is imported in dollars, that means that their food prices are going up, their petrol price is going up, their taxi fare is going up. Mm-hmm. If they don't realize that Jacob Zuma is sabotaging them and their economy every day, then, we deserve Jacob Zuma and we deserve everything we get from his administration.
There we go. Thanks, Justice.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Talk to you next week.
Day.
Cool. Thanks, Justice. There we go. Justice Malala, The Burning Platform on cliffcentral.com.